Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
The University of Iowa told Christian members of InterVarsity Fellowship that they could no longer require their leaders to be Christians on the campus club. They had no choice but to shut down. But now they're fighting back. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead, the director of communications for Liberty Counsel. This is something that has been happening on college campuses quite frequently. And it's where these college campuses create these non-discrimination policies. They've already had these non-discrimination policies for a number of years. The standard ones that say you can't discriminate on the basis of race, for example. But they've added sexual orientation and gender identity in many of these college campuses. And then they try to apply that to a club, but they don't apply it universally. So they will say to these Christian clubs, you can no longer meet or no longer be eligible for student funding from the general student funding for clubs, or no longer be able to have a room, or no longer be able to advertise, or no longer be able to meet at all on campus. They have a variety of ways of censoring these clubs. And they say that unless you change your constitution to allow for somebody who is homosexual, LGBT, pansexual, whatever you name it through this whole LGBT spectrum, if you don't allow them to be leaders, not just show up in your meeting, but leaders in your club, well, then you're discriminating and you can no longer meet on campus. And so this has happened around the country. There's been some losses, even a loss that went all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court. And there's been some victories, but the fight continues.
But yet at University of Iowa, they exempted or ignored leadership and membership restrictions for other clubs like sports clubs, fraternities, political organizations, but they specifically targeted the Christian clubs.
Yeah, you think about it. Take, for example, a La Raza club. That's a Hispanic or particular ethnic club. Or the African American club, or the women's club, just as an example. Those are focused, organized around a specific core value or meaning or issue that's central to the club. Mm-hmm. So it's not fair to, say, a black student union club to say that you must have, as part of your leadership, talking about leadership, you must have as part of your leadership a Caucasian as the president. And if you don't, well, then you're discriminating and you're going to be shut down. Well, the club is for black students, or the club is for Hispanic students,
like-minded
or the club
people,
is for
yeah.
women, or in this case, the club is for Christians.
Right.
So why would you force, in fact, you know, the non-discrimination on religion has been there for some time. Mm-hmm. Why would you force, for example, a Christian club to have an atheist, a Jew, or a Muslim, or a Buddhist as the president?
Right.
Or vice versa. Why would you force a Jewish student club to have a Christian as the president? It makes no sense. Now, it's one thing to allow people into your club meeting, mm-hmm. but to say that they can now become the leaders and set the policy and the direction and the content of the meetings makes no sense at all.
Like, this reminds me of what we talk about with the Equality Act. I mean, you wouldn't go to your church and then expect the lead minister to be atheist in your church. If that's, you know, if you say you have a Presbyterian church, that makes no sense. That is not appropriate. And they're mandating the same thing on this campus with these Christian groups.
Yeah, you know, the University of Iowa, they decided to say that all clubs will need to act in accordance with their so-called human rights policy, which says that groups may not discriminate based on things such as sexual orientation, gender, or religious beliefs. As a result, nearly 40 student clubs have had to deregister from the University of Iowa due to the restrictive policies surrounding religious leadership positions. And these groups include the Latter-day Saint Student Association, the Mormon Club, the Sikh Awareness Club, and the Chinese Student Christian Fellowship Club. It makes no sense to have in the Latter-day Saint Club a Baptist as your leader, somebody who's Catholic as your leader. They want to have somebody that's part of the Latter-day Saints. The Sikhs don't want to have a Muslim leading it. And the Chinese, they don't want to have somebody who's Hispanic leading their club or somebody who's not religious, who's somebody who's not Christian.
Oh, I know. But this Christian club is being targeted. It all comes down to the biblical view on marriage. And they feel like they have to push the LGBT agenda and make it more, make this club inclusive.
See, if they really applied that policy across the board, they'd have zero clubs.
Right.
You wouldn't be able to have any religious clubs, any ethnic clubs, any clubs based upon gender. You would have zero clubs. You would have just no clubs at all, except maybe a language club.
You'd be clubless.
Yeah, you'd be, but, you know, then the language club, well, you wouldn't want to have somebody who's president of a language club.
Who couldn't speak the language.
Who doesn't speak languages, who's
That'd
not
short
interested
meetings.
In languages.
Yeah.
You know, the Supreme Court has, like, for example, in federal law, Title VII, 1964 Civil Rights Act, and other laws, they have policies that say you can't discriminate on the basis of religion. Well, those policies apply, for example, to churches and other religious organizations. But there's always been an exemption for religious organizations. For example, religious organizations can make hiring, promotion, firing decisions based upon religion. Makes sense, because that's the reason for the existence of the organization. And there's even what's called in the non-discrimination laws on the federal level, the BFQ, the bona fide occupational requirement. The bona fide occupational requirement. What's that? Well, if you've ever been to Epcot, you're going to see it in operation. Mm-hmm. You go to the Mexican pavilion or the Italian pavilion, and guess what you're going to see? People that are Italians, people that are Mexican, people that are from Morocco, people that are from different parts of the country, because that's a bona fide occupational requirement. If they want to have a pavilion in Epcot to actually promote the particular country, then it makes sense that you have people that are from those countries.
Right. So this InterVarsity Fellowship filed suit. And I would think they would have a strong case to be able to win, don't you?
You would think they would, but there's a case that actually went to the U.S. Supreme Court, comes out of law school in California. It's regarding the Christian Legal Society that has a student club on law school campuses. And they encountered a similar policy, and it should have been a no-brainer, going all the way up to the United States Supreme Court from the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. And unfortunately, the Supreme Court sided with the school. And therefore, that policy there said the same thing, that you can't require your leaders to be Christian, or that you have to include someone who is homosexual, LGBT, as part of your leadership. This is a law school, of all places. And sometimes you think of medical societies ought to be really focused on medicine. Sometimes they're just political. And law groups, law schools, law associations, you think that they're going to be really focused on freedom and the rule of law, and sometimes they just get controlled by politics, and that's what happened at this school.
They're just allowing the small group of people with this huge agenda to drive the culture and law.
So with the changes on the United States Supreme Court, this issue needs to go back up to the Supreme Court. There's cases around the country that have gone both ways, and unfortunately there is a precedent that's not very good at the United States Supreme Court called the Christian Legal Society case. That went the wrong way with regards to this law school out in California. But it makes no sense to have these non-discrimination policies, no matter what they put in it, to ultimately impact these student clubs. Student clubs are created and they're organized oftentimes around different kinds of issues, religions, ethnicity, race, and so forth. Let them have their freedom to be able to meet. Mm-hmm. For more information, if you know anything about this kind of information or censorship on campus, call us at Liberty Council, and you can get information at 407-875-1776. Our phone number is 407-875-1776. I encourage you to go to our website, lc.org. That's lc.org. You can also on that website subscribe free of charge to our newsletter and a series of emails. We have a number of different kinds of emails that will not only provide you information about what's happening in the country, but a way for you to have your voice heard, whether it's in the United States Capitol or someplace else. LC.org is the place to go, LC.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org. You can also call us at 407-875-1776. Again, that phone number, 407-875-1776.